Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read together verse 1. We'll pause, talk for a little bit, and then we'll come back and catch verses 2 through 4. Make sense? So, Matthew 6, verse 1, here's the words of Jesus, says this. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. We'll stop there. So we're moving from chapter 5 to chapter 6, which, of course, when Jesus was speaking these words many, 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 many years ago, he did not tell the crowds then, we're moving from chapter 5 to chapter 6. And yet we know that there's a shift that is taking place in some of the things that Jesus is talking about here. Back in the fall with the Beatitudes, Jesus was honing in on this internal character that is to manifest itself in those who follow him. So we talked about things like being a peacemaker and being pure in heart and the meek and the merciful. And in the second half of chapter 5, in this deep obedience, a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, Jesus was talking about how do we live out this faith, how do we live out this righteousness internally? And we grappled with things like how do we keep a hold of that anger that we have? And how do we, through our thoughts and in our hearts, honor and respect one another? And how do we fulfill the purpose for which God has uniquely designed us? And we talked more about things like that. And so now we're moving into chapter 6. And we see a little bit of a shift take place again, where we find guidance from Jesus of how do we live out this faith, this righteousness, in relation to the world. And Jesus identifies three pillars of the Jewish expression of faith. In the first part here of chapter 6, he's going to talk about giving and praying and fasting. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to be ever so bold, and we're going to add a fourth one to that list, because Jesus talks about it here in the beginning of chapter 6, and we actually bypassed that a little bit, knowing this was coming in chapter 5. So we're going to add a fourth one, and that's forgiving. And I don't think any of us would have any qualms about adding forgiveness into the life of discipleship too, yes? And so Jesus is going to talk about giving and praying and fasting, and we're going to add to that forgiving. And the unifying factor to all of these is expectation. When you give, when you pray, for if you forgive, when you fast, Jesus expects these practices to be a part of the life of one who follows him. When you do this. But Jesus also expects that these practices are not done for others, before others. So I want to teach you a word this morning. It's a word that I'm going to claim I have never heard before. I don't think it was on any of those weekly vocab quizzes that we had to have senior year English class. Ugh. I don't think they were on there, but to be honest with you, didn't study them that well, so they might have been on the list. But this is a word that was brand new to me, and maybe it's a new one for you, but you're all smarter than I am. So let's see if you know this word. Here's the word. Let's put it up on the screen. The word is ostentatious. You know that word? Some of you do. I knew we had some linguists here, right? Here's the thing. I didn't know this word until recently, because time after time after time, in book after book after book, by commentator after commentator after commentator, this word kept showing up until I finally said, I got to look up this word. What does this word mean? Do you know what it means? Ostentatious. Now, here's the thing. It's not a Greek word. It's not a Hebrew word. But it's kind of a funky English word, yes? And so what do we do here at Westview when we have funny words? We get to say them together, all right? Ostentatious. Ready? Ostentatious. I even had to look up to make sure I was saying it correctly. Ostentatious. One more time. Ostentatious. Here's what it means. Ostentatious. To be characterized by a pretentious display. As in something that is specifically designed to impress or to attract notice. Something that is done or said, and it's all for show. To get eyeballs on you. To be noticed. To get people's attention. Hello, TikTok. Hello, those people who are making a living on YouTube. I mean, isn't ostentatious the driving force for all of these Instagram reels where the person's sole desire is that you click on that little movie so that you can look at the stupid things that they're doing? This past weekend, our family watched the NFL draft. It's a national holiday in our house. And now you talk about ostentatious because I'm telling you, some of these suits, outfits, and not just that, but the enormous chains of diamonds that these individuals are wearing. Why? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, whether it's a young athlete coming out for the NFL draft or someone on TikTok doing some cool new dance. Look at me. That's ostentatious. Make sense? And Jesus puts a big nope. That's not how we do it. In this passage, those who claim to be disciples, he's saying, this is not the way to do it. This is not the way to live our life of righteousness. This is not the way to exhibit acts of righteousness. These acts of righteousness are not to be done before others, to be seen by them, ostentatious. But instead, they are to be unseen and solely for the glory of God. And Jesus starts here at the beginning of chapter 6 with giving. So I want you to check out with me what Jesus says here in verses 2 through 4. Follow along, please. He says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What does Jesus mean when he says, when you give? Actually, that's an incomplete question, isn't it? Because Jesus didn't just say, when you give, did he? What did he say? When you give to the needy. Jesus is referencing a practice called almsgiving. Maybe that's a familiar word to us. Which is an act or a deed of mercy, of kindness to the poor, to those who are lacking, to those who are without. He says, when you give to the needy, which is the call to the people of God all throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. I'm going to be very honest with you, I did not take the time this week because I did not have the time. I was busy watching the NFL draft. But I did not count every single reference in Scripture about how many times it says we as the people of God are to care for the needy, for the poor. But one resource I looked up said, and I didn't verify this, but they said 2,000 instructions in Scripture for the people of God to care for those in poor. 2,000. I mean, even if that's off by just a couple of hundred, that's still an amazing amount, right? That the call on the people of God is to give to the needy, to those in need. Friends, you can't miss it in God's Word unless you don't want to see it. That the way of the people of God, the way of people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, is to give, is to care, is to help those who are in need. Now, I'm going to say that again this morning, just in case a more recent rhetoric has gobbled up our ears and mixed-masked our minds. That the people of God, Those who are claiming to be followers of Jesus Christ are to care for those in need. When you give to the needy. See, just a few verses earlier, at the end of chapter 5, Jesus spelled out that God's goodness, God's love, knows no prerequisite. The sun shines upon those who are evil and those who are good. God's rain falls upon those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. And friends, in the same way, our giving knows no qualification. Our giving has no set of criteria that must be met with some specific documents or parameters or criteria. The criteria is this: if there is a need, disciples of Jesus are to seek to meet that need. What does he say? When you give to the needy. The hang-up for Jesus is not whether we give or not to the needy. The hang-up for Jesus is how we give. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. That's just one verse. There's a lot going on in that verse, yes? So let's break it down just a little bit. He says, do not announce it with trumpets. Okay, let's imagine something this morning. Let's imagine that our local community where we live, right? It could be Waukee, Clive, Urbandale, West Des Moines, Johnston, Grimes, Adel, Norwalk, Des Moines. Did I hit them all, most of them, yes? Let's imagine that wherever we live, our local community has a drive, has a push. We want to meet a need that is in our community. Let's just imagine we want to address affordable housing. And the whole community is going to get behind this. All of our leaders are saying, we're going to get behind this. And they're saying, churches, we want you on board with this as well. Would you help us with this? Would you help us have this push towards meeting the need that is affordable housing? And of course, Westview would say, yes, we're going to help with this. And they say, can you take a special offering for this? Yeah, we can do that. And let's imagine this morning that, who is it? Well, let's go with Nick today. Nick, let's imagine that Nick, it stirs in his heart for affordable housing. Yeah, I want to do that. I want to meet that need. And so Westview, we're going to have a special offering, and we're going to come and we're going to give. And Nick feels a special need, so Nick's going to stand up like everyone else is going to stand up. You all don't, but you're going to stand up for me. And Nick's going to reach into his wallet. You got your cash with you today? I was thinking like 100 or 200 or so. You got that? No, got that? Here you go. I got a 20 for you. How about that, okay? You got some money too. I see that. You just take this 20. Okay, you take that, okay? So Nick's gonna give a gift, a generous, could have been 100, but a generous gift of $20, okay? And the time comes for him, and what we're going to do at West, we're going to do something. Maybe we built like a little playhouse, a dollhouse, where we're all going to walk up there and we're going to put our money in for affordable housing. And so we're going to do that. So Nick's going to hold, Nick's feeling stirred in his heart. He's going to give. And so he holds that $20 high and he starts to walk up here feeling good about himself because he's, you coming, Nick? You coming? Yeah? Okay. Hold on though, because it said, announce it with trumpets. Hold on here just a second. Oh no, it's right. So we have here our shofar. Jesus said, do not announce it with trumpets. This is, as you maybe know, this is the trumpet of Scripture, a shofar. And so Nick's feeling good about himself. He's stirring in his heart. He wants to give to affordable housing. And so he's going to hold that $20 high. And as he's going, he's going to play the shofar to make sure you all see what he's doing. You think you're up for this?
I'm not the musician.
You're not the musician. That's true. All right, how about we do this, Nick? Okay. Let's do this. I'll play the shofar while you go up. We're going to go up to the pulpit there. You're going to hold your $20 because you're feeling good about what you're giving. And I'll try to play the shofar, okay? Quite a scene, yes? Now imagine that's happening Not just with Nick, but maybe there's a couple of others of us that feel the same way, or not just even here in this place of worship, but out in the streets as well, right? Where people are feeling generous and they want to give, and they want to give their generous thing, and Nick's feeling good. Again, could have been 100, but okay, we'll take 20 here, right? A little bit of a scene? But this is what Jesus says. He says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues, in the places of worship, and on the streets, to be seen by others. A little bit of a scene. We would have noticed this, yes? All right. Nick, thanks for helping me. Oh, you're going to give that back to me? Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for helping me. Thank him for helping me out this morning. He had no idea it was coming. So thanks, Nick. I appreciate you being a good sport with that. So you and I today, we might not, because I could hardly play that thing this morning, but we might not play a shofar. But how hard is it for us to sit behind that keyboard and with a few strikes of the keys, just post on social media, look what I did. Look what I gave. Right? And so we operate in this sort of way that we announce it to others. And Jesus says that those who operate in this sort of way, he calls them hypocrites. That's a pretty strong word. I'm guessing it's not an unfamiliar word when it comes to Christians and disciples of Jesus and what people think, yes? We can be accused of being hypocrites, fairly, unfairly at times. But the root word here of hypocrites really is a word that means an actor. It means someone who is playing a part, someone who is playing a role. So for example, when we go to the movies, right, we maybe go there and we're going to watch them. So this is, you guys know who this is? Emma Stone, right? So we see Emma Stone, and she's a pretty popular actress right now, yes? We're gonna go to the movies, and when we go to the movies, we sit down in the movie seat, and we sit down with a big jumbo popcorn, butter all over the place, and big old pop and candy, $25 gone just like that or more. But we go to the movie, and we're going to watch Emma Stone, and we know that it's Emma Stone. But we don't expect it's going to be her mannerisms, her own personality. We don't think it's going to be the things that make Emma Emma, because we know she's playing a role. We know she's playing a part. And here's three different characters of her. We see Cruella De Vil in the middle there, yes. She's an actress. She's playing a role. It's Emma who's doing that. It looks like Emma, but it's not Emma. She's playing a part. That's at the heart of what hypocrite means here in this passage. A hypocrite looks the part, but is putting on a show. And in this case, they look the part of this concerned disciple of Jesus, that we're going to help those who are in need. But the motivation they have behind it is that of pride, of self-glorification. And it means that they're simply putting on a show, that quite literally, they are tooting their own horn. And Jesus says, well, good for them. Because the reward that they seek, they receive. He says they have received their reward in full. The reward here, the word here for reward means payment. They did a service, they get paid for it. You work at your job for 6 hours, you get paid. That's what it means. And so what they are seeking, what these people who are announcing with trumpets, what they are seeking, Jesus says they get. Exactly. That's what they want. They have received their reward in full. They have received the attention and the applause of the people. And that's it. And Jesus calls his disciples to a different way. He says, but when you give to the needy, so he says it twice, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Now, here's the thing. Don't get bogged down on the logistics of, well, how can a left hand not know what a right hand is doing? They're connected to the same body, the same brain. One's going to know what's going on. Don't get bogged down with that part. The focus is on the imagery of secrecy. That our giving is done in such a manner that it's off anyone's radar. That it's so outside of any perceptible awareness that we don't even know the full extent of what is happening. And I appreciated so much what one commentator actually talked about a different body part. Talked about the heart. That what does the heart know when the right hand is doing the work of giving to the needy? What is the heart thinking when it comes to giving to the needy and when that is happening? In other words, what is our motivation? I mean, we've already seen one dangerous and really one unfaithful motivation. That's to be seen, to be recognized, ostentatious. And Jesus says that's the way of hypocrites, those who put on a show, those who look like they mean well, but it's really all about them. There's another second dangerous way of motivation about this left hand and right hand imagery here, and that's about the motivation of self-congratulation. That is where we give in such a way, and there's a pride that wells up inside of ourselves. And at the root of this, we still very much want recognition, even if it is just self-recognition. And this makes me think about a scene from a TV show that was on 6, 7, 8 years ago or so, a show called Life in Pieces, where there's this guy, this is Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son. Can you see the resemblance there? He plays a character named Greg. And in this particular episode, Greg comes into some money through an inheritance, and he wants to make a donation. And he's going to make a donation to his former high school track team. And I think he donates a bench. And he does so anonymously because he doesn't want anyone to know it's him. And through the episode, Greg is just so proud of himself that he made this donation, and he kind of gets a little overbearing, just how proud of himself that he is. And what happens in the show is that people don't know who Anonymous is, and they start to think it's actually his brother. And he starts to get a little frustrated with this, and so Greg makes his way down to the track, and as people are running by on the track, he's saying, "I'm Anonymous! I'm Anonymous! I'm Anonymous!" That sort of defeats the purpose, yes? But that's the motivation of self-congratulations that then oozes out, still wanting to receive recognition. But the motivation here that Jesus alludes to is the pleasure in the giving as a response to God's love. Here's the thing, we have to take a step back. And we have to remember first and foremost that we were and we are ourselves poor and needy. And God, because He loves us so much, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of our sins and to offer us the gift of eternal life. And that's something we could not ever do on our own. We're in great need. And it is now, out of deep appreciation for what God has first done for us, we now give to others, not for the applause of other people, not so that we can be filled with warm fuzzies about ourselves, but simply for the pleasure and blessing it is to give as we were first given, to provide as it was first provided for us, to care as we were first cared for, to love as God first loved us. And according to Jesus, God, who sees what is done in secret, He will reward you. So what is that? Well, the word here for reward in verses 1 and 2 is a different word in the Greek than it is in verse 4. In verse 1 and 2, we talked about this already, it's like a payment. It's a pain, like a paying a wage, paying for a service. But here in verse 4, the word focuses more on paying back. And that doesn't mean that if we're generous with those in need, that then God owes us some sort of debt. Instead, we just take a minute here to get our minds around this. We come to recognize this idea that everything we are and everything in our life depends on the constant and infinite supply of God's mercy. And when we are generous, when we give to those in need, we are not pulling from a limited bank account, but we are drawing from a storehouse that can never be exhausted. And so we pull and it refills. We pull and it refills. We pull and it refills. And we give, and our capacity to give will never run dry because God's resources keep refilling that which we take. That in part is the reward, that we can't outgive God. And the other part of the reward is that God provides. If we give in secret, if we give our giving is what is unseen, we get what we're looking for. And it's as simple as that. We get what we're looking for. As a disciple of Jesus, we're not seeking the applause of others. So that's not going to be our reward. And that's okay. It's good even. But what matters, our reward is the wonderful blessing that when we give, a need is satisfied. Our reward is that the hungry are fed. Our reward is that the naked are clothed. Our reward is that those who are thirsty are given something to drink. Our reward is that those who are sick are healed. Those who are oppressed are freed. Those who are marginalized are welcome. Those who are lost are saved. Our reward is when that which we seek with our giving, when it happens. And in that moment, the love that prompts our giving out of what God has done for us, that prompts us to give, then in that moment, our love is satisfied. I mean, have you ever had it before where you've given to something and you saw the difference it made? You saw the impact. You saw the wrong righted. You saw joy restored. You saw hope given. You saw anxiety ceased. That is the reward in and of itself. And what a great reward that is. The reward that a disciple of Jesus seeks when we give. And the added bonus to this is that when our giving is done in secret, it's God who is glorified. This is like we explored way back in the fall. I think it was one of the very first sermons we did in the series. We talked about how we let our light shine and that others may see, not us, but see our good deeds. Not so that we can get praise, but so that they would praise our Father in heaven. When we give in the way that Jesus talks about here, when our giving is done in secret, it's not about how great Josh is, and it never should be. And it's not about, oh, what a great church Westview is. I mean, I think we're pretty good, but it's not about that. It's about how great and how wonderful and how compassionate and merciful and generous is the God they serve. That's our reward. That's why we give when we give. Amen. Let's pray together. Generous God, we name today that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that you who own the cattle on 1,000 hills, you have an inexhaustible supply from which we can draw upon as we love and care for those in need. And we can do so knowing, God, that you will meet all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so we thank you, God, that when we were and when we are still poor and in need, that you have provided and you continue to provide everything that we need, first and foremost through the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ that we celebrated with such joy so mightily last week on Easter. And now, God, we name that you continue to provide that which we need as we seek you in your will, in your way. So, God, thank you for providing. And now, would you give us generous hearts? Not to store up the riches and storehouses that you give to us, but so that we can see a need and we can meet the needs around us. You call your people to give. May we give generously, and it be for your glory and your glory alone. God, we pray this morning for our congregation and for the many different things that are on our hearts today, for children this morning as they learn and grow in Scripture. May they be indeed being blessed by your word. We pray for these connection opportunities for some specific groups, for church as a whole, for large gatherings, small groups, classes, and so much more. God, what a gift it is, this opportunity to live and to share life together. God, we pray for our leadership, governing board, elders, deacons, staff, especially those who are going to meet over the next week or so here and seek to continue to faithfully discern your will to lead Westview well. We pray for those who are sick, some with something as simple as a little bug today, or some dealing with and fighting cancer, or recovering from surgery, or dealing with chronic pain. God, we pray you would bring healing. God, we also would pray this morning that you would bring comfort to those who grieve. You would give peace to those who are anxious this morning. You would give guidance to those who are uncertain about the future. You would simply give hope to those struggling this day. And God, we thank you that we can ask this of you, God, and that you would respond according to your good and perfect will for us. Help us to lean into that and to trust where you continue to lead. And now, God, we pray as we close this time together of prayer. We want to pray together the words that Jesus taught us to pray. And Westview, those words will be here on the screen if you'd like to use them. Let's pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.